man, giving up Tuesday night to hear the report on Zambia's DG school in particular. There's a couple of objectives that I have tonight to cover. And the first one would be to remind us, to remind ourselves about missions and about how that each one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus are really part of missions and working out and reaching out wherever that might be. A week ago in Halifax, we were sitting down to the breakfast table and we read in Matthew chapter 28, and that's what I'd like to start tonight. These are verses that are very familiar to most of us here, I'm quite sure. Matthew chapter 28. And as we look this up, we begin to do that. This one is, it's been a long time since I've been here. I remember coming as a young person to Easter conferences, and we would have something over in the school, the conference is over in the school, and come over here for lunch and walk back and forth. I was here for about that time. And there was a few years where we were pretty regular at Easter time to come. I was supposed to part of the time since then. So it's good to be back, and thanks for your welcome. And one of the reasons, I'm going to touch on this too a little bit later, but one of the reasons that we're examining because of a particular letter that she wrote, and I'll share that a little bit later tonight. Matthew chapter 28, I'm sure you've got time to find the verse if you have a Bible. Then, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. I like verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. I'm sure there's a lot to be said there. They saw him, they worshipped him. That's a beautiful verse. But some doubted it. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Go, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Although we might know these verses quite well and have read them before, it's great to bring them to the forefront of our minds once more. The Lord Jesus in his command to tell to tell people, tell his disciples, his command was to be go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. And it's our privilege, each one of us who's a believer in the Lord Jesus, it's our privilege to be a goer, to be obedient to what the Word of God says, and to be a goer in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, with the people that we come in contact with. And whether it's on a plane, whether it's meeting a stranger on the street, whether it's in a foreign country, we have a great privilege as believers to be a goer and to be obedient to the Lord Jesus and his desire for believers to go out, his disciples to go out, and make other disciples to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Question. What did the Lord Jesus mean when he said nation? Was that Canada? The United States? Zambia? I don't think so. I think nation here means people groups. Groups of people. People who are culturally, linguistically distinct. And so there's a lot more than, there's a lot more people groups in our world today than countries. Zambia in particular has been over 70 tribes and languages. So there's many more people groups than there are countries. In fact, one statistic says that there's about 16,300 different groups of people. You divide them up according to language and culture and like that. Over 6,000 of these people, groups, are unreached. As of yet, they don't have a Bible in their own language. As of yet, they're only a very small, or maybe not even any inroads with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one out actively promoting the word of God amongst these. There's over 6,000 people groups in our world today that have not heard, or only very few people of them have heard. Many of them live in Europe, Northern Africa, South America, and the challenge before you and before myself and each one of us that are believers in the Lord Jesus is to go out to these people and to meet them and to share with them the word of God. Who is going to do that? Maybe I'm speaking to a few people here tonight. Maybe the Lord will raise up some people from here to go out and to share the word of God with people who have yet to hear what this book has to say. In connection with that, I'd like to share something that I read about just in the most recent edition of Mission Magazine. Some of you might get this magazine. It came to the home. This is a prayer vessel report, written report by Peter and Martha Hawking from Lima, Peru. This is what it says. We value your prayers for God's protection and guidance through the research team that is now in a remote jungle area seeking an unreached tribe. Brother Oscar is leading this effort. I guess what got my attention was that I didn't realize that there were still tribes in our world today that were going to be governed, you know, had never been contacted with the gospel. Well, apparently there's about 6,600 that haven't really heard much about the gospel. Brother Oscar is leading this effort, accompanied by six Christian brothers from the Shipibo tribe. I suppose you've heard of the Shipibo people before. You quite familiar with them? No, I didn't think so. Neither was I. They are making exploratory trails, looking for the hunting trails and huts of this tribe. Lord willing, Oscar will be returning to Lima the first days of August. So that's a little bit past. Pray especially for God's protection on the team because they're exposed to poison snakes, tropical illnesses, and opposition to women. Pray also that they may be guided by God to look in the right places for this tribe. I wonder if anyone from here tonight would go out and look for the Shipibo people and contact them and put the Bible in their language so that they can read what God's Word says for themselves. It's really wonderful that this isn't just about Sakeji School. This is about God's program for the world, and we are able to get involved. And as we get involved with it, we see people, we disciple people, we lead people to Christ. In heaven, there's going to be joy. There's going to be joy over many who have turned and repented and been saved. Before we say too much about Sakeji School and our involvement there, I'd like to just mention a couple of things. If there are questions, as we're going through some things, if there are questions that you have, please, I'm going to have a couple minutes at the end if some of the brothers here have some questions that you'd like to ask kind of on the floor, or I'd be happy to try and respond to that. If not, you can talk to myself or my wife privately and afterwards, and you'd be happy to try and answer things for you. There should be a little calendar at the back and a little stage and push talk. Some of you might have seen before. For some families, or some of the problems of the beach. So, not one for everybody, but maybe enough for some families that are doing that. You're welcome to get on that. If you have any problems, you've got one already. So, we're going to start. Just going to look here at this here. I have a few slides to show, just to show a few things. Just to say, going back to how we got to Zambia, our family went to Zambia to Sikeji School in 2003. And in 2002, there was a letter written by Anthony Lacy to the assembly in Lebanon, thanking the assembly for some parcels received and perhaps a practical teacher fellowship as well. I can't remember that. But I do remember in her letter, she said about this place called Sikeji School that was meeting teachers and nurses particularly, and that possibly if there wasn't teachers coming and nurses coming, they were thinking of shutting it down. And, you know, my wife and I had been praying that God would lead us and guide us, and we didn't know what we should be doing. We weren't sure if we were supposed to stay in Glen Ewan at that time after being there for 3 years, or if we should be moving on and looking for other things. And we had had missions in the back of our mind. We had been to South America a few times, we had gone to Mexico to see tours, and wondered maybe South America sometime. You know, the Lord would have that in his time for us. We didn't know, we weren't sure. This letter was read, and I mentioned about Sikeji School. We've never heard of the place before. We didn't know where it was, hardly. We didn't really know anybody there. And we got praying about it, and it seemed that the Lord was just wanting us to continue taking a little step at a time. And we did that after some time in prayer. And eventually, we found ourselves at Sikeji. That's home. That's home there. And so, by and large, that is where we feel that God has placed us. We feel very much at peace in that home there. And God has placed us there. And that is most of our time and energy is directed waiting after school. And you'll see some things about that. And we do have some time and energy to go out from the school and have some time there as well. But first of all, just a little bit about Zambia itself. Hopefully people can see that. If not, I might have to shift the number a little bit. Zambia is a landlocked country. Many of you, of course, would be familiar with where the country is located geographically in the world, and in Africa even. You can see it's above South Africa and Zimbabwe, and it's surrounded there by 8-7 countries, including Zimbabwe, Botswana, and a few others, Congo and Angola. You can see the picture of Zambia and Sikeji School is in the very extreme northwest corner of the country, right up at the top of the country, very close to Angola and Congo. And there's just a few stats there about Zambia in general. There's about 12 million people, 45% are under 14, so a lot of young people, a lot of kids. And where you go in the village and out to local churches, local families, there's lots of kids around. You wonder where the adults are sometimes, but there's lots of kids. The latest statistic that I could find on Zambia for life expectancy is 38 years. There's lots of infant mortality, lots of early deaths due to illness. I suppose nutrition has something to do with it as well, but 38 years. Not a very long life expectancy. HIV/AIDS, which is very prominent, very prevalent, 15%, that's the number. Perhaps the number is quite a bit higher than that, because a lot of times it's not counted. And 70 plus tribes and languages in Zambia. We are in a Lunda speaking area for the most part. So Pam and I are trying to learn the language Lunda with English and being this one here. So Daisy was started by some of the first pioneer missionaries that came through in the early part of the last century, in the early 1800s. And the Bird Colleen Mission Hospital was started by Dr. Walter Fisher. And he and his wife realized, as more missionaries were coming and they had families, they were realizing the need for a school for the children of the missionaries to be educated. So in 1925, the first student arrived at the Daisy Mission School, named after the river that runs through the property. And it began in 1925. A lot of the early years, there was all the missionary children coming from down from Angola, sorry, across from Angola, down from Congo, you saw the number on the map, and throughout Zambia and other places in South. Now, and that's just a really good history, but right now, with the last missionary families on the mission field, and homeschooling and things like that, there's not so many missionary children. So 90% of our student body of students from grade 1 to 8 are Zambian students, except for one coming from Botswana, and actually a student from South Africa comes up into the school. We have relatives in the school that is not as well returned. There. I should just mention, just generally, this is a very general statement, but there's the children that come here are Zambian families. Some come from Christian backgrounds, some don't come from Christian backgrounds. We have a family, for instance, that their parents are commanded assembly missionaries to Angola, or Chukuma, and their children come. Other parents don't know really the gospel. They're not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in impacting the children and teaching them the gospel and we trust seeing them saved and going on to the Lord, we trust that the word of God gets into the family that way. But we're I just lost my train of thought. That's okay. The very general challenges of the culture is what I wanted to say. There's things like corruption. Corruption is huge in Zambia, in Africa in general, but in Zambia in particular. Immorality, deceit, witchcraft. These are some issues that the kids at Sakaji, the backgrounds and their families and some of the family's contacts that they have back in the cities and villages, various villages that they come from, these would be major issues. And so just to say that being able to have children come to the school for 34 weeks of the year and teach them, the math and the science and things like that, but also be able to open the Word of God to them. I'm going to go into this a little bit more. That is a great opportunity, we feel, to put in a good foundation for their life, build their life on. That they might be saved, that they might learn about the Lord Jesus and to grow on and grow in Him and grow for Him. And you find it a very good privilege, very great privilege to be able to do that. Well, just think quickly about the goal of Sakaji. What is it that we're going for? Again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to equip young people from grades 1 through 8, not only with great academic skills, and they get that at Sakaji, but also so that they would learn about the Lord Jesus, they would trust Him as their Savior, and they would go to Him. And we should all be growing in the Lord Jesus, of course, but that's what we want for our responses occasionally. Most of them, I can say, would be believers. And I couldn't even tell you that all of them would be believers when they leave occasionally, because I don't really know. Couldn't tell you for sure. But I do know this, that from the time that we have them in grade one to the time that they leave, usually after grade seven and grade eight, because of them for 6 or 7 or 8 years, for 34 weeks of the year, and they've had a really good opportunity to be saved. They're going to be saved while they're young. And many of them do get saved. You can be quiet, really, sometimes, and they can be a real testimony to their families and to the other students as well. And we trust that they will be preserved as they go on for this occasion. This particular picture is something that happens 3 times a week at Sagaji. We call it prayer. And all of this is a half hour before supper that we get the kids together, and one of us, in this case, I think it's Joe Adrian to be there, but one of us sits down with them, and we have a missionary story. We might have a little gospel message. We might have a little prayer time on it. We might have a question and answer session. But we sit them down, and we call that prayer. That's just 3 times a week. We focus on that. That's something that we can do before supper. And again, I haven't said this yet, but just to be clear, it's occasionally a boarding school. So when the children come for 12 weeks at a time, they're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it's a full-time job for a lot of people, not just one person. Full-time job for a lot of people. And pictures of 9 missionaries and different assemblies in the UK, Canada, and the United States that are there full-time serving the Lord. Looking after the spiritual needs and physical needs of these children. Thinking about the role of Sagaji, I would like to read with you again in your Bibles in 2 Timothy, chapter 3. I'm going to read more than this verse 14, just to give us a picture. But this is our rationale, this is our reason for being, if I could say that. In verse number 10, Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he says to young Timothy, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." He even goes on in verse 11, talks about persecution and affliction. Drop down to verse 14. "But continue thou in the things that thou, which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So one of our goals in being a Sagaji is to live Christ before these children. And believe me, when you have the children from under your arm all that time and you grow up, they become part of the family. They become like an extended family. And it's really wonderful, the connection that's there. But it's really great, it's a wonderful opportunity to see like Paul was doing for young Timothy, to be an example. And so Paul can say to Timothy, "I want you to continue just as you've seen me continuing as I look off onto the Lord Jesus Christ." And so that's what we are like wanting to do with the children that come into the school, that they would continue as we walk before the Lord Christ, because we seek and trust that we're also seeking to follow him. All right, verse number 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all that's kind of struck me recently. The Word of God keeps coming up here. Verse 15. The Word of God, which, or the Holy Scriptures, pardon me, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith. That's what we want. We want these children to be saved. And then verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And look at the things that's brought, look at the usefulness of it, correction, training in righteousness, reproof. That's what we want as well. And the end result, that the man of God, that the woman of God, must be mature, clearly growing on the wall. It's a growing process. I trust that you and I are still growing. I trust that you and I are still going through this process and still growing up in Christ. And that's what we're seeking to be for these children as well. Students that come to you. You know, sometimes you wonder, in the daily grind, I'm sure you might think you might know what it's kind of like. You're in the daily grind and you seem to be doing the same thing over and over again, and you wonder if anything's being accomplished. Anything useful for the Lord is being accomplished, or anything is really working out. And sometimes we feel like that too, in the middle of everything. You know, there's I'm just going to read these verses for you. Psalm 78. It's really something that was really an encouragement to me. One time, as I was kind of being a little bit discouraged, sometimes missionaries get discouraged, and it's great to be able to go to the Word of God and seek encouragement. Give ear, Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. This is what it says in verse 4. You will not hide them, speaking of the Word of God. You will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Verse number 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Some of us who are raising children today, it's great, isn't it, to be able to pass on the Word of God and to see them grasp some of those things and grow up to some of those things, right? You know, this is what families should be doing. Trust me for doing that. This is what I ought to be doing when I'm in my family or at the cage in the school, seeking to pass the good things that I've come to enjoy, that have been passed down to me, the Word of God, passing on. So that others may grow up. Setting our hope in God, not forget the works of God, and be wonderful. Just move on, just have a few notes here, and I'm going to turn to follow. One of the things that we've also been doing on occasion is every once in a while having a concentrated week of gospel emphasis, I can say. Meaning that, you know, throughout, besides prayers and Sunday school or a few other activities that are going on, having a concentrated week of spiritual emphasis and making sure the gospel focus, the gospel again. That's my father there. He visited a couple of times. One time he was there, he had a week of special children's meeting every day and followed the week. So we are able to do that as well. Another thing that we've been doing as a KJ is every 2 weeks we introduce a talk in classes and in morning assemblies about new character quality. So this one particularly is creativity, and there's a few I wills there. I will use my talents for good. I will see things from more than one perspective. And just talking about that, some other character qualities we emphasize, again, introducing a new one every 2 weeks or so, truthfulness, obedience, creativity, physics, if you like. So again, introduced every couple of weeks, and there's a little stories about that, little key points. So we could use some of these in the classroom, in the dorm. Some situations at times do not have to come up as well. Someone could stop lying and say, well, we're working on truthfulness this week, aren't we? We can talk about that. Another thing that we'd like to do with some of our senior students is to get them involved on a Sunday evening, have a little thing together, a little message, and these are three of our senior boys, actually one to the right is no longer with us, he's graduated, Julius is going on across the age. And so if you were to join us on a Sunday evening, we will have to find our seniors find with us music and singing along and having a fellowship time with other leaders. And sometimes we do have visitors, and not always believers, not always connected with the children, but sometimes people dropping in, people passing through the area, everyone with the children, things that they sit in for the Sunday evening time as well. One of the things that we have tried to do is find ways to encourage our senior students, particularly because some of them confess Christ as Savior, they confess to be believers in the Lord Jesus. So to give them a way to reach out. And a year ago, we were invited to take a display of the school, on posters and things like that, down to a place called Winnemucca, which is about 2 hours drive from us. And they had a fairground set up. And this is a booth that we had. And it was a great opportunity for the students to participate in that and organize that. And handing out Gospels of John and a few papers and gospel tracts and that to students and other Zambian people as they came through this little group here. Every year we have to have a believer's party. Like I already said, they become very much like family. And so in a way it's very sad to see them go, but in a way it kind of makes you look back over the years that they've been there and see how they've really matured and grown up, and many of them again have professed to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and they meet with the Bible or a good commentary that they do. So that's kind of an overview of the reason why we are there, seeking to live Christ before the children, seeking to see them saved, to grow up to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and seeking to help them to grow up and begin a new life in Christ, and seeing them go on for Christ. That's really why we're there. Now, in order to do that, of course, there has to be some practical things, and just a few brief pictures that won't be drawn on this section, that's for sure. So we have an office, an administration building. That's one of our buildings on the campus. The KG School site property is approximately 1 kilometer square, and so it's a big area. The campus actually is quite close all together, and this is one of our buildings. The staff, we were just joking downstairs a little earlier about tea at 10 o'clock. Everything stops for tea time, and the missionaries and visitors, and then we meet here in the building. I can't see the first time. We meet on the side here. The tea and the children both are going to be in the dining hall, and it's a good time because we can discuss some of the morning happenings, and we can also pray together. And sometimes we hear things happening, there's a recent series of meetings in Halifax where Pete Smith was involved in, and there's a few people saved there in the new year, Well, we heard about that, and actually my mom and dad were there at the time, so we were praying for the OGs, and, you know, so there's prayer requests there, and there's prayer requests from within the school, and so-and-so's really struggling today with school, and so-and-so, they really did a good job on this assignment, and so there's some praise presence there too, and we can share, and it's a really good time with me there in the school that we have in the prayer guide team. Another building that's on site, obviously, is the dormitory, because we're there 24 hours, 7 days a week. So in the middle room, that is just behind the tree there, that is the main city room. And to the right is the girls' dorm, to the left is the boys' dorm. Behind the main city room is a little apartment for one of the ladies. In fact, I think I have a picture here. Jeanette Young is dorm mom. And so she lives in the little apartment there and looks after the girls' dorm, as well as the one of the just say, well, I may have mentioned already, that the eight or nine missionaries that are there are all assembly and family missionaries. And there's a lot of them there. There's a dining hall, a very important place to get really excellent meals every day, two times a day. All of us eat together in the dining room. Breakfast, 7 o'clock, dinner, 12 o'clock. Supper, drive-thru, whatever. We all rings, and we run. Well, it's not quite that, but we're there, we're meeting together, and there's 10 or 11 tables in the dining room. I don't have a picture of that, I cut it up, trying to get through these. There's some tables, and every week, the students have one table shift to the next table, and rotates around, and each table is managed by one of or sometimes we have short terms that come up about for a term or two, and we have the privilege of looking at that later at the table as well. And so it gives you a chance to visit the group of children who are on the next table. I should just say the dining hall built in 1948, which is a local building material, mostly mud bricks and mud. A very little cement that would be able to be sourced at that time was being replaced in 2010. So we're gathering supplies, some of these supplies are on site already, to construct again another dining hall kitchen complex. So that's an exciting thing that's going to be happening. Kathleen Saunders, who looks after the kitchen, and she's got there a pig and ready to put it in a pit for a special event. It's not even Christmas, but it's going to be a pig in a pit roast. And that is one of our workers who works in the kitchen. That is not an umbrella, that's a mushroom. We have approximately 60 Zambian workers working for us, from the kitchen and some to laundry, some to grounds and maintenance, and everyone's very busy working around there. Well, I do have a picture. I moved things around a little bit. This is inside the dining hall now. At breakfast time, probably. There are some kids eating. After breakfast in the morning, every morning we have an assembly time at 7:45 every morning. The kids line up, and that's Mr. Boyden. He was here earlier this spring. I didn't get the report on the school, so some of this might be familiar to you. So we're going to be leading the children in. There's an opportunity to have a morning message. And there's singing that happens every morning. That's a great way as well to emphasize the character qualities that are being taught that week, and also some gospel messages and things like that. have four major classes, grade 1 and 2, grade 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there's four homeroom classes, each of them are a split grade class, there's four homeroom teachers, but all of us that are there teach in some way. So we might not have homerooms, but there's art to teach, there's French to teach, there's music to teach, there's so many things, and we all participate, whether we're good teachers, whether we're actually qualified teachers or not. It's all hands on deck, as it were, and we're all part of the teaching process. The curriculum that we use is a Christian Schools curriculum from Ontario, and we supplement that with Zambian content, because the grade 7s write the Zambian national exam, and so they have to be equipped and got ready for that. This is our lower school classroom block. It has three classrooms in it, and it has the grades 1 through 4 students in that. There's a middle classroom that's used for small group work and things like that. And then our upper school is a slightly bigger building. It also has a library and a science laboratory and a French room besides the two homeroom classes. It also has a teaching resource center and things like that. It would be really nice, thinking about now, 5 years from now, a little bit into the future, to have a third classroom block so that these buildings could be renovated, and in the end, they'd have a few good buildings and possibly going up to grade 9. Right now we're up to grade 8, but potentially if the group provides teachers, it would be really wonderful to be able to go up to grade 9. The school used to go to grade 9, back quite a few years ago, but not anymore, and that's due to teachers, a lack of teachers and a few things like that. That's a picture of another classroom. One of my favorite times, and I couldn't have said this when I was teaching in Canada, but one of my favorite times is at the end of the term when the parents come up for interviews. And if you've ever gone to parent-teacher interviews, if you've ever been a teacher out there at parent-teacher interviews, it's not necessarily something that's always, but I look forward to it. That's our parents, but for the most part, are very supportive. They're appreciative of what we're trying to do, and they understand, and even though they might not be believers, they understand that, okay, I want my kids to have a good education, and we have a good education system there, but we're also able to impact them with the gospel, and they also appreciate that, and they appreciate the interest that we take in the kids. And so we often sit down with them, we can pray together, and have discussions, and we've been a mutual encouragement to one another as teachers and parents, as missionary staff, I could say, as a teacher and parents. Again, 24/7, it's a big job, and there's lots to do. After, you might be wondering, well, what do they do after school? When does school finish? School, for the senior students, school finishes with a homework prep, a homework class called prep. At 4 o'clock, that's when it's over. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. But other days after school, there's things like swimming lessons, craft times, crafters, organized games, a couple of special events through the term, or things like birthday party, where we celebrate all the birthdays in that particular term are celebrated on one night. So we pick a night in the term and celebrate all the birthdays. We have what we call half term, which is a two-day break from classes. And again, because we're quite in a rural location, quite far away from a lot of major cities and things like that, it's not feasible for parents to come up and take their children out for 2 days or a long weekend, but rather we have kids on site and we do some fun activities, we do water sliding, swimming, all kinds of go-karting and things with the children. There are challenges. There are some challenges. One of these challenges is getting supplies. Getting supplies that, I'll just say, you know, there's boxes that are sent, and many of you from the assembly here, the school benefits from your packing, it's a big challenge. It's just physically handling everything. Everything has to be handled hands-on. There's no forklift that are in or anything like that. And you don't need a forklift, and that's just okay. But I'm just saying, if you come to these big boxes and they're all intact, it's great to be able to get the supplies. However, especially for our kitchen caterer, Vic Cassandra, because all of our food, a lot of our non-perishable food comes from Canada. It's more cost effective, believe it or not, to buy it in Canada, ship it on a container, and transport it and get it across the not. And transport to the city than it is to buy it in Denver. I know that doesn't make sense, but I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. And besides that, when you go shopping, one time, and I think Auntie Daisy can verify this, one time you can find something and say, great, I finally found where we can get Cheese Whiz, or whatever you're looking for. And you go back the next time, not can't find it. Okay, so sourcing thing. And so especially for the kitchen person who's trying to cook the meals and have an menu and things like that, it's important for her to be able to have a steady source of food. She orders something and 6 months later or so she can receive it. So again, finally getting. So we are thankful. Either out to fix the roads that are in the area, just so that vehicles can get through. A lot of the things, some of the things are sent specifically for other people or other schools. This is a local government school, basic school, grade 1 to 7. And there were some school closures in Ontario, and we were able to get, they went into a school and put the blackboards off and put the desks and chairs on the container. We were able to get some of that as a case, and we just distributed them to the local schools around. They were very appreciative because they don't have anything. The one school we went back to mount the blackboard on the wall, and we couldn't figure out where the desks and the chairs were that we dropped off previously. They said, what we do is we lock them all in the one classroom in the whole school that were locked. We lock everything in the room, and then every morning the student school in, you get a desk and a chair and bring it up to the classroom. And then at night we pack the room, we lock the closet, the box. So if you're wondering what to send, you send locks to the door. And then you can come and install all of it. You take it personally and install. So supplies given out. Some other challenges, again, just because we're away from the city, we're very rural again. We have to provide our own water and electricity, and we've got a chicken house here, so we have laying hens for fresh eggs. We have a dam on the river that goes down the channel and ends up filling the swimming pool, but also powering, turning a water turbine, producing electricity. So we have 24-hour day power. It's fairly good, very low maintenance, but there is maintenance involved. Sometimes we shut down. This is our main source of power, so we're very thankful for that as well. One of the reasons, and I'm just trying to start wrapping up, but one of the reasons we didn't be here tonight was because this couple, Tim and Mary McDougall, earlier in the spring from Ontario, who were visiting, she took a look at the tennis walk and came to a visit to spend a weekend with us. And we were talking about going on for a little break to reconnect with our family. We really haven't had one for years or so, and praying about it. And at that time, struggling because it didn't seem that it was going to be feasible. Needless to retired technical teacher from Ontario, 31 years experience with 17 home at Fort Hall Beach, and 17 home. And Mary's a nurse, and that's what Anne does a lot of, and she wants to be. And so, in a very real way, it's a perfect fit. So, they were there as visitors at the Fort Hall Beach. We managed to get them something called a work permit, which allowed them to stay on and work. So they stayed on, they are there, substituting as a work for us. And we are praying that they will continue to stay there as well. So if you're praying, you can remember, sitting there with Google. It's, you know, they need somewhere new and different and sometimes difficult. Scripture, you already mentioned that I was doing a lot of teaching, and that's a lot of my day, a lot of energy is spent in the day to teach. These are some of our senior students, these children. Again, and not only teach them the academics, but Sunday school times and prayer times and organized times as well. And also see people with Christ before them. It's a real wonderful opportunity. We trust that eternity will bear the results of that. A lot of pastimes take up with nursing responsibilities. Nursing for the children at staging, the students, as well as the workers, the family work staff, and their families as well. So this part of young people that she's responsible for. Sometimes government limits run out of medicine, and so she gets a knock on the door, or people come other than that, they come to see her to get medicine. People don't have medicine cabinets. You go to families, they go to a clinic, and so there's a lot of good value. Just move on from there. But, I mean, there's the teaching and the nursing, but there's so much more. There's so much more to fill today besides just teaching and just nursing. It doesn't just, you know, go and teach from April 4 and back, you know, sign up, check out, whatever. It doesn't work that way. You're there, again, it's 24/7, and there's things needing done all of the time. It's a busy, life. Here, on the weekends particularly, when we're in school, and when school's on break for 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks sometimes at a time, we're able to go more. This is just a picture of visiting a local assembly, and when we go, we seem to share a little bit of the gospel and encourage them. And it also could be a practical help. The people are so generous in their poverty, in the little that they have, they seek to give that. And it's really great to see them and be encouraged by acts of kindness. That maybe just a few eggs or a little bottle of oil or a little bit of meal, something that is costing something. It's been a sacrifice for them. And so it's wonderful to see them. To be privileged to receive from these people. This is a fellow teacher. He is actually teaching at a school in Ikeleni, which is about a little town, about 7 kilometers from us in the school. He's a teacher there, and he's a believer in one of the assemblies. And his wife, Skyton, translates quite a bit for us. So everything, all the assemblies are in the local Lumita dialect language, and we love. I don't speak it enough to speak that message. So Skype often comes with us, and he's a very able translator. Here we're eating. Sometimes when we go out, we get a meal, and here we're sitting in one of the little assembly buildings, having a meal that the believers have kindly provided. In this case, we were out for a gospel meeting and breaking the bread, which we typically do in the morning, and then we had the meal, and then there was an afternoon meeting. couple of times together at some conferences. And conferences are a bit unique when you go to Zambia. And we'll get to that in just a minute, but we'll just put this in here too. We've had the privilege of having Sunday school teachers conferences for about 16 months. There was some posters, sets of posters, 40 or so pictures each, sets given to us. And there was quite a few sets. I think about 40 sets were given. And we could have just given them out to the local assemblies, to the Sunday schools. But we thought, you know, there's how are we going to do this? And so another brother, Mr. Tom Robertson, and myself, we thought about it, prayed about it, and thought, you know, what we should do is we should have a time when every month Sunday school teachers come together and we're able to teach them the lessons, the weekly lessons, give them the posters for that month, and have them go back to their particular Sunday schools to do the lessons. And that's what we were doing here for about 16 months. We did it every month. But we did have a break of a couple months one time, but every month, for the first Saturday of the month, we had a Sunday school teachers conference for Sunday school teachers from about 13 to 14 assemblies from the area came in to one particular central assembly here in Ikolemi, and we got the lessons, and they distributed the material, and they carried on like that. The furthest assembly was 30 kilometers away, long way, you can imagine. On foot or cycling, the 30 kilometers. But again, that's the furthest. Some were obviously quite a bit closer than that. Another outreach that we're able to do is go into the high school and have a scripture union club. And what that is simply on a lunch break, being able to gather up some kids at the scripture and have a gospel message with them. And that's some of them there in the classroom, in a different classroom, some of the scripture waiting for. We can continue together and have a message together as well. Conference time, speaking by interpretation, everything's outside, in the open air, many people sitting down. We try and go with family, tent, and a few basic facilities, and just be there with the people. One outreach that we're not really involved with, but this is also in the village, the town that's about 7 kilometers from Skagi, is the Ikolemi Book Group. And there's a source of Christian literature and books, and this brother is in the assembly of Ikolemi, and he's there every day, giving out. There's some there for sale and some there to be given out there as well. Just a few more minutes. I just have a few things for you to remember in prayer, if you would. The first one is for Satan. There's a lot of these creatures around. And we're very fortunate for a number of snakes there are, but none of the children have lived it in recent years since they've been there living. And so we're always so thankful for the safety too. Please continue to pray for the physical safety of the children. We're always very thankful anytime we travel, particularly going up to town. The days are those years over the roads with bicycles and goats and sheep and so many things on the road. We're so thankful for seeing when we're traveling. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Now, why I say that is because I trust that in this picture, this is kind of a typical picture here where how we can help people physically, how we can help people practically. That's something we said about a lot of the public work we do. And so we need prayer for how to help the relationship with the people of our area and how to best help them in their community. And we appreciate all. The center young fellow here is a boy named Jackson. Jackson missed the whole of the second term of this last year. He had an injury in April, our school year, our school year starts in January. So from January, February, March, that's my first term, and then a break, a month break or so, and then another 3 months or so is the second term. Jackson missed the second term. He had an injury in the first break in April or so. And his leg, his ankle, which was, I think, sprained, infected somehow. And as of a week ago, and he's back at school now, but as of a week ago, they had to take him over to Bellini. There was lots of swelling again in his leg, and upon x-rays, examination by the doctors there, they figured that some of his bone, because it was infected for so long, and his left, some of his bone is dying. And I'm not sure, I'm not a medical person at all, but we just pray for Jack. He's the middle fellow in the picture there. And he's our prayers. He's an active fellow, he's a good football player. And it's hard for him to stay off his foot. Pray for him. A couple more. This is our chief. Chief Vanessa, actually, Delaney. And she would have her palace in Delaney. But I just want you to pray for the chief. Actually, more generally, pray for our relationships with the government officials, immigration officers, and that too. But pray particularly for the chief because. Although she reads her Bible, and at times she does not believe and pray for her salvation, number one. She has tried to put a damper, put a stop on witchcraft in the area, but it's so ingrained, it's so much a part of people, that it's still a bond. It's very much a big issue, witchcraft, and all that goes along with that. If someone dies, they don't usually die the traditional way of thinking. They don't usually die because of natural causes. Rather, it's someone's cause of death. And so, who has done that? So, the witch doctor's called, and we try and look for the witch. Sometimes it's older people, sometimes it's Christians that are targeted. Sometimes it's people who need a little bit more money to do a job, and they have a little bit of money. And so we can just pray particularly for her and for her salvation, and also for these evil practices that continue even to this day. To be honest, even some of the believers struggle. Struggling a lot with fear. And have a real grip on people, as they say. So we just need to pray to the chief here for the fear and that holds people and even the leaders who are struggling. Thank you. Our family, Caleb in grade 6 and Shoshana in grade 4 and Naomi in grade 2. Your prayer for them will be appreciated as well. Just a couple things in particular. One, that our family circle, in a way of speaking, will be unbroken. If we go back to Zambia for 6 more years, when we come, and or don't return for 6 more years, Lord God willing, we're going to be looking at university the next time we're back. But in the meantime, if you go to grade 8, What did you do after grade 8, grade 9, you went to school, that's a big thing, very good. And we're wondering what to do, we're praying for what to do. And so if you pray with us, pray for us, remember that particular meeting as well. A verse that I've enjoyed. Well, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Again, Casey is very much on our heart. It's very much part of us, as it were. But we just want to just give the glory to God for anything that's been done. Give Him glory, give Him praise. Because it's really His work. And we're just so privileged to be in the service of the best masters. And just want to say thank you. Again, allowing us to just share about these few feeble little thoughts and maybe just a bit disjointed as well, but thank you for allowing us to share that. I said that maybe we're going to be a couple minutes, just open it up for questions, but maybe just before we do that, can we just say number 78 and pray together?